Chapter 13. Tripp and I went on patrol. We were one of 10 different teams out looking for early signs of trouble. Most of those had a casino employee or two with them to keep them from getting lost in the confusing place. Earl had directed the two of us to the camera room to try to coordinate some help. It had been an hour since the quarantine had started, but the Fed still hadn't tried to communicate with us. Phones, radio, and internet were all down. Cable TV still worked, and as we passed a big screen above one of the bars, I spotted the front of the Last Dragon. "Hey, that's about us." The man being interviewed was a tough guy in a suit with a short haircut, which pretty much screamed MCB.
"You know, that guy looks like he's in really good shape for a CDC spokesman."
Tripp found the remote on top of the bar and turned the volume up. "There's no need for alarm. Everything is safe and contained. One of the guests at the casino showed symptoms of a very rare type of African hemorrhagic fever."
"Is that like Ebola?"
asked the nervous reporter. The agent looked right at the camera. "Yes, exactly like Ebola, which is why we suggest that everyone stays well back from the containment area. It is very contagious."
"Is there any danger of it spreading?"
The MCB agent gave a fake laugh.
"Oh, no. Everything is perfectly safe, and there is no danger at all to the city of Las Vegas. The people inside may be inconvenienced, but our doctors are testing them now. Once we are certain that no one else is infected, then they will be released. The whole procedure should take only a few days at most."
"Great. We've officially got Ebola. If the hundreds of innocent people trapped in here hadn't been freaked out before, they would be now." I looked over at Tripp. "How much you want to bet somebody at the MCB is getting screamed at for forgetting to shut the cable off into here before that aired?" The TV turned to static.
"Jinx. Way to go, Z."
"Sorry." We continued walking through the oddly lit neon wonderland of beeping and clicking slot machines. It felt odd being so empty of people, but the entire casino floor area had been closed off. There had been some argument about what to do with everyone stuck here. Some of the casino staff had wanted to try to stick to business as usual, but Earl had been rather persuasive that that was an incredibly stupid idea. Since word had arrived from their management that they were to cooperate with us, they had acquiesced. Some of the hunters had thought it was best to keep everyone in their rooms, while others had thought it was best to try to put everyone into a few big areas so they could be watched. Both methods had their pros and cons, and depending on what we were dealing with, either one could potentially be the best or worst possible thing to do. If we were dealing with something like a fast-spreading, mutating plague or undead outbreak, then keeping people separate behind locked doors and controlling choke points made a lot of sense. In a situation like that, sticking everyone in one place could potentially create a zombie army in a matter of minutes. On the other hand, keeping them in small groups made them virtually impossible to defend, and would be terrible if the phenomenon could simply pop up wherever it felt like, which is what had apparently happened in Hugo's room. It wouldn't do any good to be isolated behind a locked door if the thing he had called Noctmar could simply float up through your carpet and chop you to pieces. The decision was a moot one anyway, since very few of the bystanders that had been trapped here were inclined to listen to us, and the place was a huge maze of interlocking rooms and confusing corridors, so if somebody wanted to wander off, it wasn't like we could really stop them. It's a free country. Most of the trapped non-hunters and employees were clustered in the common areas, some whining, others nervous, though nobody had panicked yet. The Ebola announcement would probably change that, and it would more than likely really suck for Nelson and hunters that had volunteered to herd sheep. Meanwhile, the hunters had thrown politeness out the window and were all openly armed, and many of them didn't speak a lick of English, not to mention that this was Nevada and the SHOT Show was in town, so many of the stuck gamblers were probably concealing guns, too. I was all in favor of people packing heat,
but we didn't want anyone to get jumpy and decide that my side were the bad guys here, so MHI was encouraging the other hunters to be polite. Hotel security had still been consulting their manuals to see if there was an official policy about what to do in a situation like this by the time we had a small private army wandering their halls looking for monsters, so security had shut down the gambling areas and locked up the money. Now they were mostly protecting the vault and trying to keep their trapped tourists calm. They'd been told to defer to Earl's judgment, a wise choice. The only services trying to conduct business as usual were a strategic few of the restaurants, open for breakfast, because people full of bacon are less likely to riot. Not too bad of a reaction, considering we had only been quarantined for an hour. It had been one heck of a crazy day, and the sun wasn't even up yet.
"I think this is it."
Tripp pointed at a door that was nearly invisible under the strange lighting. There was a swipe pad for a key card. He tugged on the door, found it locked, then knocked and waited. A few seconds later, it was opened for us by a middle-aged, overweight man in a wrinkled gray suit who blocked the way and regarded us suspiciously. He was wearing a big gold name tag that read, "Mitch."
"Who are you?"
"We're from MHI," Tripp said.
"Let's see some ID," he demanded.
Tripp looked down at his body armor.
"Seriously?"
"These particular circumstances aren't exactly in the handbook, okay? Give me a second." "Fine. Management warned me you were coming. This is on them if you do anything stupid." "All right. I'm the night shift surveillance room supervisor. This way."
We entered a very normal corridor that could have come out of any office building in America.
"How'd they tell you we were coming? I thought the phones were down." "There's an internal switchboard and operator. We can still call from room to room, but we can't call out," Mitch explained.
That was good to know. I'd have to make sure to alert Earl and spread the word.
"I saw you coming. I see everything here. Management said I was supposed to fully cooperate with you."
He took note of Abomination and Tripp's Chris submachine gun.
"Rules say no unauthorized weapons in the control room. That's in the handbook."
"I'm not feeling real rulesy right now, Mitch."
"We're trained professionals," Tripp said. "We're perfectly safe."
"Friggin' management. I get fired if I don't follow the handbook, but they just toss order right out the window at the first sign of trouble. Management just picks and chooses which rules to ignore, and then everything turns to chaos, and you watch, because then it goes on my evaluation. Chaos, I tell you.
Total chaos. Complete pandemonium, I know. But here's the thing. You can have my full-auto shotgun when you pry it from my cold, dead hands. Apparently your management is on my side in this argument, so quit dinking around and let's go."
"All right, fine. Guns, guns, guns. You better be on your best behavior."
The chunky man turned and led us down the hall.
"What's going on?"
"Have you seen the news?" I asked.
"Before it went out, we were." "It isn't Ebola," Mitch said. "I know that much."
"What do you know?"
"Damn near everything."
"That's unlikely," I whispered to Tripp.
"Whatever it is, we don't need outside contractors to handle it. We've got our own security force here. My guys can handle anything."
"Well, apparently management disagrees with you there, Mitch." Muttering profanity, Mitch swiped his card and led us through another door into a large room. Two uniformed security guards watched us suspiciously and put their hands on their holstered pistols, but since we were with Mitch, they hesitated. Tripp gave them a friendly wave.
"Morning."
Past the guards were a bunch of employees watching dozens of computer monitors. Each monitor was divided into four separate camera views, and they switched around every few seconds.
"That's a lot of cameras."
"Thank you," Mitch answered with pride. This was obviously a man who owned his job.
"Hey. Wait a second, Dreadlocks. I recognize you now. You two were with that bunch that trashed the buffet."
"It was all a misunderstanding.
I said. We look great on the security video, though.
I mean, we probably look great on video.
Tripp corrected himself.
I can only assume. Obviously.
Freaking management, Mitch grumbled. They said we were supposed to be nice to you conference attendees. At least the polo shirt bunch had the common decency to move to a hotel across the street and out of my hair. If it was up to me, I would have pressed charges and never let any of you back on the property.
But then we wouldn't be here to save the day now.
Freaking management.
Mitch gave the sort of resigned sigh that only a truly disgruntled employee that knows he's smarter than his bosses can make.
Come on.
Mitch took us to the first couple of computers.
These banks cover the street. How many people you got out there now, Mickey?
The employee manning those computers looked over and did a double take when he saw how Tripp and I were dressed.
I lost count when the National Guard showed up.
Mitch continued his tour.
Most of these cameras are of the casino floor. These show the shops and plaza. Here's the conference center, and we can cover every corridor and elevator in the hotel. I saw you all running around on 16 earlier. We called the police and sent up a security team, but they got turned away by some of you assholes who wouldn't let them up the stairs.
One of the uniformed security guards butted in.
They don't pay us enough to argue with a bunch of crazies with machine guns.
And then this travesty.
Mitch pointed at one of the four squares on the screen. It was black.
Can you believe that?
There's nothing there, Tripp pointed out.
Exactly. You people broke one of my cameras. That's what happens when you set off a homemade bomb in an enclosed space while trying to stop an invasion of metal Teutonic slug monsters. Hell on the hardware.
I cracked my neck.
Speaking of which, you guys got any Tylenol in here?
Mitch must not have caught the slug monster part.
That camera was very expensive.
Put it on my tab with the ice swan. That damn thing cost more than my college education.
Oh, I will. You just wait until you see your final room bill.
Don't finalize that bill just yet. We might not be done wrecking your stuff. I raised my voice and addressed the whole room.
Attention, everybody. I'm Owen Pitt. This is Tripp Jones.
Earl had warned me that I should keep this on a need-to-know basis. The less these people knew about monsters, the less likely the MCB was to ruin their lives afterward. They only needed to know enough to not get themselves killed.
We're consultants, and we're here to help you through this situation. Management has specified that we need to give these men our cooperation.
Mitch's tone left no doubt as to his opinion of that decision.
Full cooperation.
Which means we're pretty much in charge, I said.
Mitch looked at his shoes and grumbled some more.
On the bright side, if something goes horribly wrong, we're the ones that get blamed and sued, and you probably won't get fired.
That seemed to cheer him up.
But we're going to need your help.
What's going on? Asked one of the employees. Something bad?
Bad? What gave it away? Okay, seriously, this is going to sound weird, but it's the truth. What I'm about to tell you must be kept secret. You can't tell anybody. Not your family, not your friends, nobody. Or the government people outside will shoot you. I'm not kidding.
Many incredulous looks were shared by the security room night shift.
Here goes nothing.
We think there's a dangerous supernatural entity loose in your casino.
There was some nervous laughter. It generally died as my expression didn't change.
Yeah. Sorry to break it to you. It killed several people in northern Nevada yesterday and murdered one of your guests this morning in room 1613.
A long, awkward silence filled the room.
That's nuts.
Mitch finally said.
You know what? Go ahead and roll with that. We're crazy, so just humor us until we're done.
I didn't want to waste my time debating the skeptics.
We still need you to do your jobs and keep your eyes open. And most importantly, keep a cool head. Cool head?
That had offended Mitch.
We're professionals. We handle criminals daily. We can spot pickpockets and cheats smoother than the guy in this place's magic show. There haven't been any rappers shot in my casino because we see trouble before it happens. We can handle this. This isn't nothing but a chance to get some overtime for my boys.
Good. Keep that positive attitude. You're probably going to need it.
What's this supernatural entity look like?
Asked one of the techs incredulously. We don't know. It's able to change shape, Tripp said as I moved down the line of monitors, looking for suspicious activity. So we'll need to know about anything that seems out of place. Seeing this many different angles really drove home just how huge this facility really was. Starting at the top, there were a few different views of the roof where Julie's group of marksmen were keeping an eye out. A black shape that had to be Skippy had a panel open on the tail rotor of our chopper and was beating something with a hammer. That just filled me with all sorts of confidence.
Provided Skip doesn't break anything, we can still fly out of here if we need to,
Tripp said quietly to me. Unless the MCB has a surface-to-air missile down there, which they probably do. Never mind. Beneath the roof level and helipad was the hotel, all 20 luxurious stories, 8 cameras per floor. The upper floors weren't done yet, but cameras were already installed there. There were no cameras in the rooms, but every hall was covered. I counted all of our small hunter teams going room to room. They'd knock, talk to the occupants if there were any, then move on. I spotted the other patrols in the gambling area, the concourse, and the shopping area. All were accounted for. I addressed the security personnel with my authority voice.
Keep an eye on those patrols. If any of them disappear for more than a couple of seconds, sound the alarm. If any of them look like they start freaking out about something, sound the alarm. Hell, if you see anything weird, sound the alarm. Then I want you to use the switchboard and call the conference center so we can get my people on it fast.
If we see something strange, we can ring the closest patrol and warn them, suggested one of the men.
Good call. Do that too. I'll make sure they know to answer.
I decided to try and placate Mitch. He needed to feel important.
I can tell you run a tight ship here. You men are our first line of defense. All of these innocent people are counting on you. The faster we react, the fewer of them die. With you as our eyes, I know we can get through this alive.
The employees exchanged nervous glances. Apparently, my words of encouragement hadn't helped any. When it came to motivation, I was no Earl Harbinger.
Friggin' management.
Mitch wandered over to the coffee machine, still muttering angrily to himself. The angry banging told me that he was taking out his frustration on the coffee maker.
Want one?
Mitch called to us.
How do you Ghostbusters like your coffee?
Without spitting it? Tripp whispered to me before answering him.
5 sugars.
Jeez, Tripp, why don't you just melt some candy bars in it?
None for me, thanks. One of the techs spoke up.
Hey, boss, I've got something coming up the main valet parking circle.
Me and Mitch bumped shoulders trying to see the monitor. He spilled coffee on my armor. The screen showed a small, tracked remote control vehicle driving from the police line toward the front door.
What is that?
It's a bomb squad robot, Mitch said.
We had a threat a few months ago and the cops used one of those little guys to blow up a suspicious package someone left on the concourse. Turned out it only had sandwiches in it, but you never can be too careful.
There was an unfurling spool of wire on the back of the little robot and a package dangling from its single arm.
Have your operator warn the conference center. The feds want to talk.